Beautiful music this morning, amen.
Amen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How are y'all today?
Good.
How are y'all today? How are y'all today? Well, we're glad you're with us today in the house of the Lord. We're blessed to have this beautiful day to come and worship and celebrate our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We do have a lot going on in the life of our church, and just a few quick announcements. First one being, drop your connect card in the offering plate as it comes around this morning. That's your attendance and messages you would like for the church office to get, so I encourage you to do that this morning as well. We have a new Bible study starting on the 14th. We got the books in, so that's good. Don Morfesis will be leading that. 10 Men of the Bible. T-E-N, not T-I-N, 10 men of the Bible. I don't recall many 10 men in the Bible, but it's going to be a great time of fellowship. Don is going to be leading this, and he'll be leading us right up until our Advent season, and we're going to start an Advent study at the end of November as well. So Don will be leading that, and I appreciate that, Don. I got your book up here. October 14th at 7 o'clock in the Fellowship Hall, we'll be starting that. I remind you that our Charge Conference is coming up on October 17th, next Saturday. That will be at 2:30 in the afternoon. We're having our Stop Hunger Now packaging event. How many participated in that about a year ago when we did it? It was an awesome time, wasn't it?
It was fun, too.
We need at least 40 to 50 volunteers for that. So next Saturday, if you're here, I would say get here by 9:30-ish or so. We will be organized, and the truck will come with all the things. And what we do, we sit down. It's a sit-down job, so everyone can do it. And we'll be preparing packaged meals, and I think we will even sample some of it as well, so you'll know what we're sending out. But it's for hunger relief and disaster relief through the Love Corps at United Methodist Church. So I encourage you. There is a lengthy bulletin insert for that as well. Barbara, I'm not going to forget to ask about sandwiches. She said, what are you going to ask them today? I said, I don't know. Bring root beer? I don't know. What we're going to do is bring some sandwiches. If you'd like to bring some sandwiches, we'll have lunch afterwards, and then we'll be going right in at 2:30 for our Charge Conference. So it's going to be a busy day on that day, but I hope you're able to come out. If you're willing to make some sandwiches, who should they contact, Barbara?
Just bring them.
Just bring them. You don't even have to tell us to bring them. Just bring them. Well, that's even better. So I hope you all come out for that as well on next Saturday, actually. I have been asked by several people who have had a desire to reaffirm, rededicate their baptism. So the more and more people have been coming up asking me about it, I said, well, wouldn't it be nice to do it at the ocean? So let me make sure I get the date right, because I had it wrong here at the beginning. On Saturday, October 24th, so that's a couple of weeks away, at 2 o'clock, we're going to meet over at the beach and have a little service, and we're going to rededicate and reaffirm our baptisms in the ocean. Full immersion, rededication of our baptism. So if you're interested in doing that, see me or call the church office and let Carolyn know that you would like to be a part of that. I will baptize you if you've never been baptized as well. I would like to speak to you more about that, obviously, ahead of time. But, if you're interested in doing that, see me, and I hope that some of you will be interested in that as well. We found out this week we had two ladies pass away from our congregation. Barbara Muller, a longtime member here of Children Are Raised here in the church, she passed away this week. And we'll be having a memorial service for her on Sunday afternoon, October 18th at 4 p.m. So if you knew Barbara and were part of their family here, their children grew up in this church, and I would encourage you to come and help support the family as well. And then Iva Cusack as well, she passed away this week. You've seen her name in our bulletin probably since the time I've been here, but Iva has passed away as well. I have no details yet if there will be a service for her or not. Fall Harvest Festival. Hey, boy. I can feel women's eyes just piercing at me, waiting for me to get to their event.
I saw it.
Okay, I know. But did you see? I don't know. Is this not in the bulletin today?
Yes, it is.
Is it?
Yes.
Oh, Okay, there you go. Enough said. You need to be a part of this. So read this insert in your bulletin as well. And
see Bonnie if you have any questions.
See Bonnie. Bonnie's the head honcho in charge. So you, they all know who you are. They're not gonna. They're all fixing their shoelaces right now. I told you that happens when you ask for help. Everyone's shoes suddenly become untied. So, but it's going to be a great time, games and just fun activities. We're going to watch a movie outside here. So a lot of things going on for that. So see Bonnie as well. I was asked to remind you all that the Lakeside Ladies, the group that goes out and has dinner, that's actually next week. So don't show up this week. I was told on the 20th, I believe, was my message. So you can tell there's a lot going on here, right? So if you can't find anything to do, it's your own fault, because there's plenty of things to get involved with here. And I would encourage you to find something to come and be in fellowship with fellow Christians and to just have a good time in the life of your church. And in the meantime, to find ways to serve our kingdom, or God's kingdom as well. I'm going to stop there. If I missed your bullet, or if I missed your announcement today, we'll just have to catch it later. But we're glad you're in church. Let's now prepare our hearts and minds for worship. Oh, wait a minute. Wait a minute. No, we're not. I'm going to invite Nancy Geddes and Sharon Griukas. Today is Children's Sabbath. If I not said that yet, today is Children's Sabbath. So we're celebrating children in the life of our church. They're going to come and share for a moment with us.
Today, we join our hearts, hands, and voices with people of faith in thousands of congregations nationwide to lift up the needs of children through the Children's Sabbath. It is a special day set aside to focus on the needs of children, a day to remember the children who live in poverty, who are homeless, who go to bed hungry, who don't have health coverage. You don't have to visit the third world to see and experience child poverty. Today, 16 million children in America, that's more than one in five, are poor, the majority living in working families. 6% of the children in Palm Beach County are food insecure. That means that 63,660 children go to bed hungry every night. Over 56% of the students in Palm Beach County schools are eligible to receive free and reduced meals. For the past 16 years, the school district of Palm Beach County has offered the summer food service program to all children ages 18 and younger. Last year, they provided breakfast and lunch in over 90 sites to children at no cost. Last year, one in five Florida families said there were times when they did not have money for food.
Why does it matter? Poor children are less healthy and do not perform as well in school. They suffer because mother doesn't have enough food to give them breakfast. At school, they pretend they forgot their lunch. They shiver in clothes that aren't warm enough, and they know Saturday morning means a trip to the food bank. In the wealthiest country on earth, millions of children still do not get the head start in life they need and the opportunity to fulfill their God-given potential. Our faith tells us that's wrong. Our faith tells us to worship and work to keep children well and strong. It's not right that 50,000 people die every day of poverty, and 30,000 of them are only children. What does all this have to do with us, with my life and your life, with the life of our congregation? Sometimes it feels like we struggle hard enough just to make ends meet for ourselves.
So what can we do? We can pray. We can phone, write, or email our elected officials and encourage them to support health insurance for all children, food stamps, the school lunch programs, affordable housing, fair wages, job training, Head Start program, and affordable child care. And each of us can listen to the children, mentor and guide them, provide a safe, caring, supportive place for all ages to come and worship, learn, and ask questions. Volunteer at your local schools. Donate school supplies. Fill backpacks for the children with food for the weekend. Work with Meals on Wheels. Work with Habitat for Humanity. Grow fruits and vegetables in your garden or the church's garden, and donate to the food pantry. Regularly donate canned food to our food pantry. Help and prepare and serve our Matthew meals once a month. Support Cross Ministries financially. Donate canned goods and volunteer at the Cross Food Pantry. Make after-school snacks.
The Children's Sabbath is sponsored by the United Methodist Women. From its beginning, United Methodist Women have focused on ministries with women, children, and youth, with a special emphasis on children. United Methodist Women believe deeply in responding to Jesus' mandate to care for the least of these. They have sponsored community centers, educational opportunities for refugee children, homes for street children, and have spoken out against the child labor and sexual exploitation. Would all members of the UMW, United Methodist Women, please stand and join us in reading the purpose of the United Methodist Women.
United Methodist Women shall be a community of women whose purpose is to know God and to experience freedom as whole persons through Jesus Christ, to develop a creative, supportive fellowship, and to expand concepts of missions through participation in the global ministries of the church. Thank you. Please be seated. As you'll notice that Pastor David did stand, as pastor of this church, he is a member of United Methodist.
Creator God, you have made each of us in your own image, and then we are able to reflect your love and justice. You have created every child in your own image, and yet you are going to treat every child as a precious reflection of you. We see some children as valued treasures, and others as lost causes. We invest our time, money, and hopes in some children, while we squander the great potential of others. Open your eyes, we pray, to see that every child is made in your image and belongs to you. Help us to love, protect, and nurture all children. We pray these things in the name of the one who came to us as a child.
And all will live in peace.
Amen. Amen.
people such as Silas and to admire our capacity for virtues. Strengthen each of us in our struggle to make real the dream of your kingdom here in this place.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as you see this great group of volunteers and servants for your kingdom, Lord, I pray today that we will have a good, positive influence in our community. I pass a blessing upon each one of us gathered here and those supporting us from the congregation with their love, their offering today given to Cross Ministries. Father, we pray today that we would honor and glorify you in all that we do. We pray these things in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Amen. Thank you all. We will be meeting around 2 o'clock for registration. The walk starts at 3. Is that correct? I'm not giving bad information. So 2 o'clock or 2:30? Okay, if you need a ride over there, we will see what we can get you there.
Good time today. We always have a good time over there. And it's a great way for us to come together with other churches and organizations in our community to meet the needs of our community.
Let's have the young folks come down. Got any here today? Come on down. Guys are awesome. Come on, ladies, run. You know, they all wear dresses to church now. I think they're maturing, aren't they? It's a beautiful thing. Good morning. How are y'all today? Are you good enough? Are you good enough? Are you good enough to go to heaven? Boy, a lot of indecision here this morning. Are any of you good enough to go to heaven?
Yes.
Some saying yes. Okay. Those are the saints among us. I'm not good enough because I mess up. Do you ever mess up? How come we mess up?
We're humans.
I try all the time to be good, don't you? You try. You have a good thought about it. You're like, I'm going to do the right thing, right? And then what happens? We wake up in the morning. We wake up in the morning. Things go downhill from there, don't they, sometimes? Well, my question for you today is, if we've decided we're probably not good enough, does God just say, all the heck with those folks, I don't want to have anything to do with them? Does God abandon us? The title of my message today is, has God abandoned us?
No?
Well, that makes me feel better because sometimes I think, God, why are you putting up with me? And all these people that I know, that we're in big trouble, aren't we?
Yes, we are.
Why are we not in big trouble?
Grace.
Grace through who?
Jesus Christ.
Shh. If they don't give me the answer, then I'll come to you, Kathy. But if this is the last time, you be quiet. Hush. It's the test. So how are we good enough? Your belief in Jesus, that's the only way, aren't it? That's the only way we're ever going to get to heaven, right? Because we believe Jesus came and did what for us? So, giving away part of my message here. So apparently God hasn't abandoned us, has he?
No.
I always say, God, you should abandon us. We're a bunch of losers. But God always says, no, you're okay. I know you're a little rough around the edges, but you know what? I can even do things through you. You know, when I'm a part of something that turns out good, I'm happy. Are you? Now, if we're part of something that kind of stinks and goes down the tubes, we're like, I really didn't have much to do with that. Those other folks kind of messed that up, and I really wasn't a part of that. But when something goes good, I feel good about it, don't you? We like to be part of a winning team, right? My poor Missouri Tigers last night, those old knee gators. Stop. So we like to be on the winning team. How are we guaranteed to be on the winning team? If we're on Jesus' team, right? So do you all want to be on Jesus' team? What do we have to do to get on his team?
Practice.
Believe. So if we believe in Jesus, we're on the winning team, right? And God has not abandoned us, has he? Sometimes I worry that God might say, man, you just don't get it. I'm going to be busy over here with these other folks. But God never does that to us, does he? So that's what I want you to remember today. We're on God's team, and that's the winning team. Did you know that? You're automatically on the winning team when you're on God's team. I like that, don't you? Is that good? You like that? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for putting us at least in the place to join God's team. Father, there are decisions to be made. We have to say yes to you. But that gives us eternal sanctification. Father, we're so grateful. Be with us as we strive to be your people. And be with us as we do your will in the world. We pray in Jesus' name. And everyone said,
Amen.
All right. Going off to Sunday school. Have fun.
We get to lift up our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ here, our family members, and things that are going on in our own life today. We've got the Bible list here once again. Always keep your prayer list and your bulletin with you during the week. Do you all keep your bulletin with you during the week and periodically go through and look and see who's on that prayer list? That list does change each week, believe it or not, and we update that. So we encourage you to let us know your needs and to keep those on that list uplifted in your prayers. Larry Koosman, you know Larry was struck by a garbage truck a couple of weeks ago last night. He was moved to Select Rehabilitation Center here in Lake Worth on Congress. So keep Larry in your prayers for continued recovery. Richard Fearman as well. We continue to pray for Richard. He's under hospice care. Carl Morelli, Maria's father, I told you a week or so ago, had a bowel replacement surgery. He is home and doing great, so that's awesome. So good news for him. I did mention earlier the two deaths we had this week with Ivan Cusack and Barbara Muller. Continue to live there. We continue to lift up Betty Johns, Don Morfisa's mother. She is now at at Lakeside, and just continue to pray for her. Speedy recovery and decisions to be made for her care as well. Jared West, we lift him up. He's had pneumonia, and we just continue to pray that he gets well and doesn't pass it on to his family members as well. Adriana's lifting up the football player yesterday that blew out his knee in the game in Georgia. So we lift them up today. Karen Snyder asking for his strength and guidance for work and family issues. Continue to lift you up. Alex Malcone is lifting up his brother David, his brother David's daughter. An eating disorder, so continue to lift her up in your prayers and healing on the house. Blaine Nussbaum and Shaylin Graham, lifting them up today. Eugene Nussbaum's son and another family member, I suppose. But Eugene will be coming back in a couple of weeks, so that's a blessing. Travel mercies for him. Winston Davis, for Vincent Davis. We pray for them and their situation. We have a duck, an injury that's being lifted up in prayer. Father, there is many things on our hearts today, from our animals that we love and care about, to our loved ones, to the you have my Aunt Shirley
many things we bring to the foot of the cross today. I know there's things on your heart that go unmentioned, and things that only God and you know. But God is always there. God has not abandoned us. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Gracious God, we do have much, much on our plate today. Father, we have many in our congregation suffering from illness and injury, and we're praying for healing for all of these circumstances, for all of these situations, Lord, where people have found themselves torn from their routine, torn from the life they love. Father, we pray your healing grace to be upon them, that you would pour out your Spirit in each of these situations. But Father, I today as well pray for caregivers. Each one of these names mentioned here today has someone, a family, a person, that is giving above and beyond themselves to care for these folks, to love them, to give them the strength and courage they need to go on. Today, Father, I pray for those caregivers. We don't think of them often as the ones suffering in these situations. But Father, from my own experience, I know that sometimes the burden is even greater on those. Father, I pray for them today. I ask you to lift them, to give them strength and courage for one more day. Father, I love them. I ask your blessing upon them. Father, today we lift up our church and all the activities that we have going on here. Father, so many to list. I pray your blessing upon each one of them. The crosswalk today, our Stop Hunger Now event next Saturday, all the things going on in the life of our church. Father, it's evidence of a church that's living out its purpose. Father, we're grateful for that. But we're also grateful that you allow us to stand in the gap for those that fall between the gaps. Father, let us find someone and give them a hand up. Lift their spirits. Lift them physically and emotionally. Wherever they can use our help, Lord, let us be there to fill that need. Father, our world continues to be a dark and devastating place. From bombings in places like Turkey, to strife in the Middle East, to Syria, to our own neighborhoods, Lord, people killing one another. Father, we pray that we would see your guidance through these times, that your divine purpose for us would be played out and laid out before us, that we can see what the point of our existence is. Father, thank you. We come to you today, sometimes hurting. And I pray we come to you more with a joy-filled heart. And even during troubling times, and even during times when we knew it would be tough to be a Christian, we want to hold our heads high. We want to be your representative where we can. Father, thank you. Be with us now as we pray together. Our Father,
our Lord in heaven,
hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Deliver us from evil. God is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever.
Amen.
God is here and has loved us from the very beginning of our lives.
The Armenian world feels abandonment and doubt. Our offering this morning will enable this church to reach out in understanding and to speak the word of hope and love and care that this world so desperately needs to hear. Our morning offering will now be received. Will the ushers please come forward?
Thank you.
Have you ever been worried that God maybe has abandoned you? Have you ever thought that your life is just too messed up for God to have any extra time for you? No. Our lectionary reading this week was several scriptures involved. We're talking about the people feeling God's abandonment. So our scripture today is coming from Hebrews chapter 4, verses 12 through 16. As I read this, please stand as you're able for the reading of God's Word this morning. And let's dive into this scripture this morning. Starting in verse 12. For the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of Him to whom we must give account. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. The Word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, reassuring words this morning from the writer of Hebrews. Father, I pray a blessing upon our ears and our hearts this morning as we hear these words brought by you. Thank you, Jesus. It's in your name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. You know, in Hebrews here, the Jewish people had to make a decision. Has anyone ever had to make a tough decision? To stay connected to a path that we knew just wasn't quite right. Do we go forward in a new adventure or do we turn back to our old ways? That was the question for the folks that the writer of Hebrews was speaking. They had to make a decision. How many of you fret over a decision you have to make? Do you make decisions quite handily and you say, okay, I think that's a good idea, let's do it? I, for one, like to fret a little bit. Thank you, Mom. My mom has taught me to worry and fret. And you're so good at it, boy. But despite my upbringing, this sounds so awful, doesn't it? Mom, you did a great job raising me. But the older I get, the less I fret about things. So far, it's taken 54 years for me to try to turn from my ways. But the people in the story here today have to make a decision. Chapter 3 in Hebrews, sort of in the Old Testament, kind of leads us through the time when Moses led the people from slavery. Chapter 4 gets us into accepting the gift. About 2 years after Moses left Egypt, he sent spies into the land of Canaan. Go in and check it out. See what it's like. They found the land to be rich and fertile. They found good things. Wow, this will be a nice place to live. Then they ran across to some really big people. Giants, they thought. Boy, they have a lot of weapons. They've got everything they need to defend themselves. The spies returned. Everyone but two of them said, they've got a really nice place over there, but you know what? Those people are big, and they've got a lot of big sticks and stuff to beat us up. But a couple of them came back and said, we can do this. Let's go. You remember what they did? They started complaining, of course, as the Jewish people do so well. Do any of us complain? What does that ever get you? Gives you a headache, I agree with them. Complaining is not that great of an occupation. Fretting and worrying is not either. Two spies that came back, Caleb and Joshua, they came back and said, "Why, that's the land God has promised to us. Let's go get it. Let's take it." All the other ones said, "Well, wait a minute. Those people are pretty big. They look mean. They've got nice things, but I think we better just stop and think about this for a minute. Does it sound like any of us? Now, wait a minute. Let's think about this for a minute." But they had been given a promise from God that He will give them the promised land. Those spies that discouraged the people, they were judged immediately by God. What happened to them? You remember this story in the Bible? They died. They died. But the rest of those said, "We will go to where the Lord has promised." After much fretting. But what happened then? Was it too late? I like this part of the story. If you read into this, God said, "I gave you an opportunity and you turned away from it." If you notice in the beginning of this, I said it was 2 years after they had left Egypt that they had this opportunity. How much longer did they have to wait before God gave them another chance? 38 more years. They were right there. They made it. They said, "No, wait a minute. They look too big." So God said, "Fine. Go out for 38 years and think about what you've done." Have any of us done that? Has God said, "No, you missed your chance. I'll see you later"? I've done that. Have you? I have done that. But what we do when we do that for God, we blame God for what? We blame God for abandoning us, don't we? Has anyone done that? I have. "God, why have you..." Do the words sound familiar? "God, why have you forsaken me?" Who said those words? A man hanging on the cross. People always say, "Well, why did Jesus say that?" He was experiencing our human... He was experiencing what we experienced, doesn't he? He knew, he believed, he trusted. But he was also born a man. Even Jesus said, "Why have you forsaken me?" All too well knowing the answer. So we need to ask ourselves, when we go to the border and we get reports of what's on the other side as these spies went out and came back and gave us the word of their interpretation of what they saw. Do we listen to those folks? How many has ever taken bad advice? Did people give us bad advice wanting to hurt us?
Yes.
Boy, that's unfortunate, but that sometimes is true, isn't it? Aren't we great? Aren't humans great to one another? Don't we love one another? Don't we want to help one another? Don't we want to prevent someone else from making the same mistakes that we have?
Not so much.
Sometimes we like to see them suffer a little bit. It'll make them stronger, won't it? I think a little suffering is good for people, don't you? Pastor, you're crazy. You don't want to suffer. I don't want you to suffer as well. But if we listen to the Word of God and we take from it what He is telling us, we won't be like the Jews who turned back in fear. They forgot that God had brought them out of Egypt. What had He provided for them up to this point? They're only 2 years into the journey. They had 38 more years to go on this. But He had already revealed Himself in so many ways. They still couldn't believe it. What did they start saying? "Send us back. I want to go back to Egypt." you are slaves and have to work 7 days a week, 23 hours a day, and you've got to eat the scraps, why would you want to go back to that? We do it all the time, don't we? We do that all the time. We know what's back there, but what's back there? Familiar. Would we rather be in misery in a familiar setting than be somewhere scary and unknown to us with a promise ahead of us? Why do we do that? Can you see God shaking his head saying, come on, people. You're right there. Step over the line. No, I'm going to step 2 steps back and let someone beat me up and treat me bad and be mean to me and suffer in life because I know what that is. We see that all the time, don't we? We see that in abusive relationships. We see that in dysfunctional families. We see that because we're familiar with it. And as the Jewish people demonstrated, that's generational, isn't it? Do you ever see generations down the road keep living in the same turmoil that parents and grandparents and loved ones have been in? You've got to ask yourself, why do we do that? A few points. Unbelief. Do we struggle with our belief? I love asking this question in our Bible study because I say, what do you believe in? You know, a lot of people can't really tell you exactly what they believe. I believe in God, and I believe in a good God, and I believe in all that. And I believe when the pastor gets up there and says, being a Christian is going to be easy. We do that as pastors. I'm guilty of it. Boy, being a Christian is so good. You got all these nice people to hang around with, and God's just going to make you a millionaire. He's going to give you a big mansion over on the beach, and he's going to give you 3 or 4 cars to drive and a big old... My buddy Max is not here today, but he's giving a big old bass boat. You're going to get everything you want. Where does it say that in here? You ever find that in here? We see evidence of it. Didn't Job go through that? Job is part of our reading in the lectionary. Job, you know, he had everything. He was the wealthiest man around. Had all these kids. All these children. What happened? They all went away, didn't they? His wife called him, curse God and die. Get over yourself. But then what happened to Job? Did he recover any of that? How much more? A lot more, right? So that deal that Job had stunk for a while. He lost everything. All possessions. He lost his family. He lost his children. Wife told him to eat worms and die. Nice, supportive life. I don't like worms, Nancy. My wife would never tell me that. She says, eat this broccoli or you're going to die. I said, it's been nice knowing you. So an example of hanging in there. But when God reveals something to you, opens up a door for you, don't be like the Jewish people and say, well, wait a minute. I don't know if I quite can trust you. My unbelief. I don't know if I can believe what you're telling me. It was unbelief and disobedience that kept the people from the promised land. Do you think that's what's keeping us from our promised land here on earth a lot of times? Absolutely it is. Something is right there for the taking and we're afraid of it. Can that ever get you in trouble? It doesn't happen a lot, but sometimes I think, God, boy, you're so good, you're giving me this chance. And I'm going to jump right into that. And God, after I jump in, he says, I don't remember telling you to do that. Well, that's what I heard, God. You said, go for it. What an opportunity. Well, but you weren't listening. That was something you wanted. That wasn't something I wanted for you. His word is a double-edged sword. You remember that? Boy, this is all tied together nicely. God's word is like a double-edged sword. God's word is like a
two-edged sword, piercing even the division of soul and spirit and joints and marrow. And is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Can we trick God into saying, boy, I have the best intentions, but I hope I get to make someone suffer today? Does God know our hearts? Do we ever trick God? Do we ever let God think, oh, well, he's got a good intention? When we don't. We've got to be weary of that. Leery of that. We've got to know we can't reject it. John 12:48. He who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day. We're going to be judged. We're going to have to deal with it. We're going to have to live through it. But the promise is still there. Do you trust the promise enough to make it through the judgment? Are some of us living through judgment right now, today? You know, I feel like sometimes we are. People judge us. People make assumptions about us. Everyone ever had a wrong assumption made of you? Not me, huh? Absolutely. Amen? Amen? That hurts, doesn't it? How do we defend that? What do we do about it? Do we fight back? What does fighting back usually do? It earns us that reputation we're trying to fight, doesn't it? We've got to be gracious. We've got to allow God to work in those situations. God is working in your life today. Do you feel God working in your life? You have things happening in your life. Yes, good things happen in our lives amidst the bad. There are blessings at every turn. There's blessings there. But God didn't say, Jesus never said it's going to be easy. Did Jesus have an easy life? No, he didn't. Did Jesus feel abandoned by God? There was a moment when he was feeling like us. But his belief kept him through. Ran across this little story. In September 1938, a man lived on Long Island. He ordered this very fine barometer. I guess he was a weather fanatic. The barometer came in the mail. He took it out of the box and the hand was pitched over to Hurricane. He said, this thing doesn't work. Shook it, tried to move it. It would not move. Wrote a letter to the company and said, this thing's broke. It's stuck on Hurricane. Went to work that day. He came home and the barometer was gone. So was his house. So was his neighborhood. A hurricane came and blew it all away. He had gotten the message. He had gotten the warning. And he said, this thing can't be right. I don't believe it. So he lost out. Folks, we have hope. I can tell you, we're a people of hope. We've got to believe. We've got to act like we trust God. Is that an act? Or is it something in your spirit? Is it something in your heart? Us preachers get up here and tell you what an easy life it is to be a Christian. How else would we get you into the world? If I met you at the door and said, come in here, your life's going to be miserable. Come in here and join the rest of us miserable people. Our lives stink. Things are going to go bad. We're going to lose people we love. We're going to lose all our money. I told the kids, we're joining the winning team. That doesn't sound like the winning team, does it? Where do we win? Where do we win? Folks, we are on the winning team. We're people of hope. We know that things are going to be rough for us. We know that. Jesus came and proved that to us. The Jewish people in the scripture proved it to us. We've got to listen. We've got to be faithful. We've got to believe. And you know what's good about coming in here with our problems?
The folks up next to you, the front set next to you, they got problems too. Theirs might be worse than yours. I got a tricky question. Raise your hand if you think you have the worst problem of anybody in here. Your situation is worse than anyone else. We're not so willing to admit that, are we? Who is blessed? Who feels like they come to this place today blessed by God? Well, I'm glad to see more hands put up for that. We all have the blessing. We've all received the blessing. We've been given, you know, the spies went over and looked. They come back and said, man, it's nice over there, but it's a little rough. Those people might be mean. They're bigger than us. There's more of them than us. God said, go on over there. Take what's yours. Sometimes we don't go get what's ours. And what does that mean? If you like what your neighbor's got, go over and take it away from them? No. Let God provide for you. God will provide. So today, we're leaving here again as a people of hope. Amen?
Amen.
Are we a people of hope? There's hope, right?
Yes.
There's hope for us. God hasn't abandoned us. He hasn't said that little church down there on 12th Street, I'm sick of them. A bunch of moaners and whiners and crybabies. I'm going over here to the Presbyterian church. Those are a lot nicer people. There's a nice Lutheran church down there. I think I'll check their service out. But those cranky Methodists, I'm staying away from there. They depress me. God would never say that, would he? No, he wasn't. He loves Methodists. I just went to the bishop. Bishop told us God loves us. And I believe the bishop. I believe. Now that's being flippant, but what that is saying is we've got to believe. We read about it. I sit up here and tell you about it. We demonstrate it in our community. We're leaving here at 2 o'clock. We're going to meet over there. And we're going to help people with their belief because we show up for something that's worthwhile. People look at us on the news because we'll be on the news, smile, wear a nice shirt today. Don't wear your old red shirt because when we get on TV, we say, hey, we're nice people. We're from Lakeside. You should come and see us. We have beautiful people. And our pastor is awesome. So if you get a chance to be on TV today, that's what you'll say, right? We are a people of hope. Let's live it out. Amen?
Amen.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this message today. Once again, we're given the example of the Jewish people not believing what they believe, giving up on their hope. Father, help us to be believers. Take us from our unbelief. We love you. We give you the praise and thanksgiving. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Please stand for our closing hymn today. Receive this benediction. As we leave this place, Holy Father, we ask your protection upon us. Let us go out and take what is rightfully ours, the promise and the hope of Jesus Christ. Let us be the light of the world. In his name we pray. Amen.
Exactly, yeah. But he's laughing up the glass. He's going to get a reason to help him.